Let's pray. Lord, may we not just hear, but believe and take to heart those words which you gave to Jeremiah. And in so doing, may we learn always to put our trust in you. Amen. Last week at the home group I go to, we read that message version of the passage which Linda's just read to us. And it's interesting to note how, in a way, how the meaning is exactly the same, but there's different emphasis. And we all thought that idea of being tumbleweed was very appropriate for those who turn away from the Lord. But in talking about this passage from Jeremiah this morning, we're come to the second in our series of topics in the Who Cares series. And this morning we're thinking about trusting God and not being self-reliant. And this morning is a first for me, actually, because it's the first time, I think, in about 30 years since I've been a reader that I've ever preached on Jeremiah. Poor old Jeremiah. He gets a bit overlooked, overshadowed by Isaiah and some of the other prophets. And I guess if you can remember any of the verses from Jeremiah, you might remember chapter 31, verse 31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Much of the rest of Jeremiah we tend to gloss over. But just to put him in context before we look at his message, he was a prophet writing just before the exile, just before the Jews were exiled to Babylon. He suffered a lot for his message, which was really that unless the Jewish people turned back to God, exile would follow. Well, as we know, with the benefit of hindsight, they didn't, and exile did follow. But in proclaiming his message, he went through some fairly awful experiences. Spent several days at the bottom of a well because he had displeased the king. Another occasion, asked to sit in front of the king and read his scroll. And whenever he'd read a little bit, the king held his hand out, took it from him, and burnt it. That was how the people of his day treated the word of the Lord. So Jeremiah had no illusions about society, about the frailty of people, how hearts can be in the wrong place, how easily people are led astray. And as you probably noticed, that message is very, very close to Psalm 1. There's a contrast, just as there is in Psalm 1, between those who go God's way and those who choose to go their own way. And Jeremiah, of course, is just one in a long line of writers in the Old Testament who have shown up this choice that we all have. The writer of Genesis describes Adam and Eve choosing to do evil, choosing to disobey God. The writer of Exodus describes how the Israelites, having left Egypt, mightily delivered by the Lord, nevertheless frequently turned their back on him. The writers in the Psalms talk again about those who ignore God's law and those who try to keep it. And that continues right through to Jesus' own parables. You remember him saying, "No one can serve two masters. He will either serve God or mammon." So what does society value? Let's just look at some of the characteristics of what I think Jeremiah had in mind, and perhaps they apply to our society today. Success, wealth, prosperity, self-confidence. And I thought about bringing a CD of Frank Sinatra with me so we could all listen to "I Did It My Way." Decided better. control. Surely one of the things, I did it my way. I control everything. My attitude is, I've earned it, I'll keep it. I don't want to pay taxes. I don't want to help with the welfare of the country. Is that an exaggeration? Perhaps it is. And I was interested when Linda, you read from the message that it's exactly the same as the NIV version, which is page 776. I don't know if we get it back on the screen, that first verse, please. Verse 5 of... Yeah, there we are. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, says the Lord. It's a bit of a strong word, isn't it? Cursed. The image, though, follows on about that person being like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. And I think that helps us understand the strength of that opening word. Because it's suggested in various commentaries I had a look at that cursed isn't perhaps quite as strong as we might think, but it talks about someone who is miserable, someone who is never content, someone who is disappointed, someone who's missing out on things, like that plant, that tumbleweed in the desert. Above all, missing out on God's favour, but through their own choice, because their hearts, as Jeremiah puts it, their hearts have turned away. You remember that parable that Christ told of the rich fool or rich farmer? The guy who was making so much money, doing so well, that he was going to pull down his barns and build even bigger ones so he could become even more wealthy. And Jesus says he was how foolish he was, because in the story, that very night he was called to account. That very night his life was demanded of him. And that sort of attitude helps us understand temptation, I think. The farmer wanted more. And it's such a subtle thing, we can all get drawn into that. Before we know it, we want just that little bit more. We have it and it never seems quite enough. We want a little bit more. And our hearts can be turned. But let's look at something far better. We can have verse 7 up, please, if that's possible. Verse 7. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. And I don't know whether you noticed the first word of the first psalm is blessed. That psalm we read this morning starts with very similar words. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. What makes us blessed by God? It's because surely we choose his way. We choose to go his way, not the way of the world. We enjoy his presence. We want to be with him. We want to be, as Andrew was saying, like that deer panting for the water. We're longing after our Lord. We want to feel his comfort. We want to say, you alone, Lord, are our strength, our shield. We put our trust in you. We have confidence in you. We may not know all the answers. We may not know all the ways. We cannot know all the ways God worked. But we believe that God blesses us when we turn to him. There's a little bit of an issue, isn't there, in this, in much of the Old Testament, and it's there in the Psalms, very starkly in Psalm 1. It can appear, and I say appear, I don't think it is, but it can appear a little bit black and white. If I do good, then I'm going to prosper. If I'm bad, I will get judgment. I'm going to go to ruin. But that's something which is at the heart of so many of the Psalms and at the heart of Jeremiah as well. Why do the evil seem to prosper? Why, Jeremiah would have asked himself, why is the king not listening to my message? Why are the people not listening to my message? Can't they see that turning away from God is going to land them with destruction, with invasion, with exile? How long is it going to be, Lord, before you take action? Or turning the other side of the coin around, why do I have difficulties? Why do things go wrong when I've turned to Christ? Now, of course, there is no answer. We none of us really understand that. But if we're grappling with that sort of issue, I believe we can say, each one of us, yes, God is in control. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. God wants us to put our trust in him, to give him our confidence. Confidence meaning keep faith with him. Let us keep faith with God. Perhaps one day we will know the answers to those questions. We will know why it seemed so long before God acted, why the wicked prosper and so on. Perhaps. But I believe that definitely one day, if we keep our faith with God, we will see him in glory. We will see Jesus at his right hand, and we will see things very, very differently to the way we see them now. There's a promise in Revelation that at the end of time, Jesus will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more sorrow or sighing. So where do we look for our rock, for our refuge, for our fortress? Where do we see a place of safety? What are we putting our faith in? God's hands or our own? But let's come back to the verse 7, and blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. And there's various images follow. There's a plant and fruit and leaves. And it's a powerful image, that of the plant. Sometimes if Joy and I are out for a walk in the countryside and not too sure where we're going, the map doesn't seem very clear, but we know we've got to make our way towards a stream or a river to get over to the other side. We look around and look, where are the trees? Where are the best trees? And they'll be down perhaps towards the bottom of the hill by the river, because they are the ones that have really got their roots into the water. In Christ, we have our roots in the water, by the waterside. We've been planted by God. It's a good place. It's a place where we can receive his grace. It's a place where we can thrive, because God wants the best for each of us. And when we're there, we can soak up his riches, soak up the nutrients. We receive his blessing. We receive his feeding, strength. We draw our strength from him. Last week, Ruth had a couple of pictures, which you, I'm sure those of you who are here will remember, of two pictures of suitcases. You remember the bright yellow suitcase? But I remember also the second one. The second picture, there were four suitcases stacked on top of each other with labels around them. Labels to do with worries and fears. But verse 8 tells us that those trees planted by the water will not fear when the heat comes, because their leaves are always green. They'll have no worries in a year of doubt and never fail to bear fruit. God responds to our worries and our concerns as we turn to him, as we seek his refreshing waters, as we pray individually, asking for worry and fear and the burdens of life to be lifted, or pray with others, Christian friends, or there's an opportunity here at the end of the service this morning. If you want to pray with somebody about something which is burdening or weighing on you, do come to St. Catherine's Chapel. Pray with others that that burden may be lifted from your shoulders. We immerse ourselves in the Bible and those verses which speak to us about lightening our loads, where Jesus says, for example, in Matthew, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you, and you will find rest for your souls. Or as Peter writes in his first letter, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. The word he said that Jeremiah is a realist. He knows there will be times of dryness coming to us all. But that doesn't mean we've become like the tumbleweed in the desert, that we're in the parched or arid or salty place, or got shriveled up. But there is a time of testing, and we cry to the Lord when those times come, Lord, what shall I do? Lord, are you listening? But in those times of dryness and worry, and when fears seem to overwhelm, let's remind ourselves that we've been planted by God at a side of a stream of living water, at the stream of living water which Christ himself said he was. It's God's choice to plant us there. He's not going to suddenly alter the flow of the stream so that we dry up. So we can come in confidence to the foot of the cross. We can come bearing our loads, our fears, our baggage, our worries, and know that Christ will lift them from us, for we are promised better things in a life with Christ. Those trees bear fruit, and they have leaves all year round, because God does not plant us just at a whim, but for a purpose, to bear fruit for him. We are, with our roots in the water, are surely a crop which never fails, never has drought, never has pest, never has frost, and never, dare I say it, subject to EU regulation. We are planted in there to bear fruit. And Psalm 1 actually adds a little to it, fruit in season, when it is the right time, when we are ready, at the side of that living water, readied by God to speak his word, to do that very thing which God has called us to do, perhaps to visit that person at the very absolutely right time, to bring a word of peace, of comfort to them. Just ask yourself, how often has a Christian friend called or contacted you just when you were feeling low, just at that point, and given you some encouragement? We're all called to be like that. We're called to be that water, that light, to lift one another's worry, fear, and to encourage each other as we come to the cross of Christ, to help each other lay burdens down and to encourage our fruitfulness. So where are we, a fortnight into 2018? It's only 49 weeks to Christmas. 2018. Jeremiah brings us lots of images of drought, of water, of thirsty land, of fertile land, of fruit, and of green leaves. The saddest image of all is surely that of the person whose heart has turned away from God, who is dried up like tumbleweed in the desert. But the loveliest of all must be that tree planted by the water, the tree which represents those of us who put our faith in God, who trust his purposes, draw strength from him, draw nourishment from him, know he is the source of our salvation. He is our rock and our refuge, and we keep our hearts turned towards him. Amen.